top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on Q.
Good afternoon. It is time for the midday news for today, Wednesday, May 1st, 2024. I am Richie Farrell.
Our news.
In the headlines, DOASCO General Manager Bernard Etinoff announces Dominican domestic consumers, large, medium, small business owners will have to pay a water guarantee charge effective June 1st, 2024. Castries Mayor Geraldine Lender Gabriel responds to Castries arcade vendors' concerns about a new lease arrangement after Vendors Association President Peter Ras Aipa Isaac complains of being ignored.
Local, regional, and
Donald Trump's criminal trial continued on Tuesday, starting with the judge ordering the defendant to pay a $9,000 fine, threatening jail confinement for breaching a gag order and being in contempt of court. The news brought to you with the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. More details coming up.
As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95.
You've been putting off. Do it today with a loan of up to $20,000 from Quest Ready Cash. No collateral needed. Flexible payment terms and fast approval. All you need is your ID, proof of address, job letter, payslip, and 2 references. Visit your nearest Quest Ready Cash location today or apply online at Quest.com. Why wait? Get it done today at Quest Ready Cash. We are ready when you are. Conditions apply.
Welcome back. General Manager of DOASCO Bernard Etinoff has announced that Dominican consumers and business owners will be paying a water guarantee charge effective June 1st, 2024. Addressing the media at the Financial Center Conference Room earlier today, Etinoff announced that consumption rates will not change at all. Despite this increase, the rates are as follows: an additional $800 for large commercial businesses and an additional $175 for medium-scaled businesses, $100 additionally for small businesses, and $15 monthly for domestic consumers.
What the government instead did was to approve a water guarantee charge for various, well, for everybody, but to divide the customer base in a certain, and that is the DOASCO's doing now, that's what we are working on now, to effect that charge from 1st June 2024. So we are breaking down the customer base into various sections. We have the large businesses, we have the medium-sized businesses, and we have the small businesses as 3 different categories. And of course, we have the domestic customers. I'll say to you that the smallest increase is to the domestic customers. All right, the larger businesses will take the larger part of the increase of the water guarantee charge. And so for the large businesses, I'll go right into the charge now. The large businesses will pay an additional $800 per month. I'm talking about the large businesses in the $800 a month for the water guarantee charge. The medium-sized businesses will pay $175 per month. Small business, $100 per month, and the domestic customers will pay only $15 per month in addition to what they pay now. The consumption rates are not going to change at all. So the government, in its own deliberate assessment of the scenario, thought it was the best scenario of all those that we came up with over the years, about 7 to be exact, and has approved this take effect from June 1st, 2024.
Mr. Etinoff stresses that these increases will ensure that DOASCO is able to meet its shortfalls in operational costs, its supply costs, and its loan payments.
This will allow the company to meet all its loan payments, because government looked at the shortfall that the company was experiencing, to meet all its loan payments, payments to its suppliers, you know, its electricity bill, bills to local suppliers, to international and regional suppliers.
General Manager of DOASCO, Mr. Bernard Etinoff. Dominicans are being called on to stop agonizing over their socioeconomic challenges and to organize themselves around solutions to national problems. This call is being made by former agriculture minister and environmentalist Atherton Marte. He admonishes Dominicans to approach resolving the country's weak health sector in a holistic and practical manner. Issues of staffing, language barriers, advanced medical treatment, lack of collaboration between the Dominica Hospitals Authority and diaspora, who are skilled and experienced in various fields of the health sector, are some of the main issues needing resolution in Dominica.
No movement anywhere, either here in Dominica or anywhere in the world, ever succeeded, ever came to life on the basis of people agonizing about the problem. They only came to life because people got together and organized around a solution, whether it be trade unions, farmers, medical people, legal people, artists. Whenever we needed to get something practically done, we have to get up and go and do it. I want to suggest that the problem identified once again by Dale, the condition of diabetes, etc., is as much a problem of a disorganized and decalated agriculture as a problem of a disorganized and decalated healthcare system.
Former agriculture minister and environmentalist Atherton Marte, during his remarks at the launch of Season 3 of the National Institute of Praise Production, NIPP, on Monday, well-known gospel artist, songwriter, and artist development coach at NIPP, Jerry Lloyd, expressed his excitement for the competition and explained the purpose of this initiative and its impact on society. Mr. Lloyd also assures participants that once they pass the audition phase, they are trained as artists and performers leading up to the final show. NIPP is expected to run for the next 4 months.
And this third place goes to the St. Mary's Academy.
Happy today to be able to launch Season 3 of NIPP's Gospel Song Contest. Happy because once again, within the land of Dominica, the voice of the gospel, and by extension, the voice of the Lord, can ring out again to call everyone to a recognition of and closer understanding and more so relationship with God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful to be able to do this because we think it gives our people and our young people also by extension an opportunity to express themselves in the gospel and to give expression and training also to develop the talent that we have and make it as much as possible, as close to excellence as we can take it, while in our doing so we attempt to propagate the word of God, not just nationally, but internationally. Again, welcome to all, and we are so glad to have you. I'm sure that through the information that will be disseminated here today, a further, deeper, and greater understanding of what we do will become evident. Thank you so much once again, and media houses, as with everybody else, welcome.
Artist, songwriter, and artist development coach at NIPP, Mr. Jerry Lloyd. This is Q95 News. The Dominica Bar Association achieved success on Tuesday as they conducted their public speaking contest as part of Law Week 2024. The event, held under the theme Professional Intelligence, When There Is Artificial Intelligence, saw Jason Han from St. Mary's Academy clinching third place with an impressive score of 423 points. Cruz Ferreira from Orion Academy secured second place with 427 points. And Renee Talbert from the Dominica Grammar School emerged as the winner, securing first place with a remarkable score of 470 points. That's 470 points out of 500.
And this third place goes to the St. Mary's Academy, Mr. Jason Ham. The second place prize of 300 EC dollars via check from the Dominica Bar School, presented by the magistrate, Miss Augustus, and a plant from the watering can, as well as a trophy, is awarded to the Orion Academy, Mr. Chris Ferrara. Second and third place persons received St. Mary's Academy, you got 423 points. And Mr. Cruz Ferrara from the Orion Academy, you had 427 points. And our winner is with 470, that's 70 points, out of 500 points coming from the Dominica Grammar School. Miss Renee Talbot is getting a trip for two on Express Diesel, courtesy of Bullseye Pharmacy, trip for two to either Guadeloupe, Martinique, or St. Lucia. And this is from Bullseye Pharmacy, together with a check of $300 EC and a nice succulent plant from the watering can.
In other news, the Organization of Commonwealth Caribbean Bar Associations, OCCBA, acknowledges recent media coverage from the Commonwealth of Dominica following the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court's judgment on April 22, 2024, regarding the constitutional claim of BG versus the Attorney General of Dominica. The case, brought forth by two members of the Dominica Bar on behalf of an LGBTQ plus individual challenging Dominica's laws criminalizing homosexual activity, was represented by attorneys at law Ms. Cara Shillingford and Mr. Wayne Benjamin Marsh. In its judgment, the court emphasized that the case aimed to determine whether the claimant's constitutional rights had been violated, rather than assessing the merits of the claimant's actions or lifestyle. Following the judgment, Ms. Shillingford faced scrutiny for her decision to represent the claimant, with social media posts questioning her motives. In response, Ms. Shillingford affirmed her duty to represent her clients regardless of race, political opinion, sexual orientation, or gender. Ms. Cara Shillingford emphasized the importance of upholding justice and challenging the status quo, stating that lawyers have a responsibility to pursue cases they believe are right, even if unpopular. In light of these circumstances, OCCBA strongly supports the principled stance taken by the attorneys, highlighting their commitment to upholding constitutional principles and advocating for justice even in challenging cases. You're tuned in with Q95 News. The IOM, through the Joint Program for Disaster Management in the Caribbean region, announces Phase 2, building on Phase 1's achievements in disaster displacement management. Phase 2 aims to enhance disaster response by integrating the human security perspective into environmental migration and risk reduction efforts. Viola Pascal, project manager, expresses enthusiasm for Phase 2, emphasizing its focus on garnering support from stakeholders and raising awareness of climate-related disasters. Additionally, partnerships with the United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction have been strengthened, incorporating multi-hazard early warning systems into this initiative.
Phase 2 of the joint program, entitled Promoting a Human Security Approach to Disaster Displacement, Environmental Migration, and Disaster Risk Reduction in the Caribbean region, is not really a question of how much it will be different, but it will focus on supporting greater buy-in and uptake from the stakeholders across the region. We will continue to promote an increase in the awareness on human mobility and disaster linked to climate change in the region through the lens of the human security approach. So since the completion of Phase 1, we have added additional countries, Jamaica, Barbados, and Trinidad and Tobago. These countries were added in an effort to ensure mainstreaming and sustainability of the human security approach across the region. This is a key requirement of the joint program, and we believe that by expanding this initiative to these countries, it could help to strengthen the human security approach in the region.
That was Viola Pascal, project manager for the joint program. Meanwhile, Gere Torres, the program management officer at the United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction in the Americas, underscored the significance of this initiative, adding UNDRR's crucial role in ensuring a comprehensive understanding of disasters, whether they stem from natural, social, social or socio-natural origins?
As you know, in the Caribbean region, we are facing a lot of insecurities that have different root causes. We have economic insecurity, food insecurity, health insecurity, environmental insecurity, sometimes personal insecurity, community insecurity, and political insecurity that, as the human security approach has been highlighting, there are really those insecurities that any kind of project would like to address when we are implementing. And the role of UNDRR, a part of really ensuring that we have a good understanding of the situation of any kind of disasters that are produced by human or nature origin or social natural origin, are be analyzed and treated in the framework of this project in order to ensure that we really reduce the insecurities that I have already mentioned, and that we can provide strategies that will increase the resilience of peoples, communities, business, and institutions that are in the Caribbean region. Our approach will be people-centered, as normally one of the areas that we would like to have here is the resilience scorecard, where we're going to be talking about displacement for the people in the move, and also we were talking about multi-hazard early warning systems. So both of them are really people-centered, thinking about the people and thinking how we build the resilience of the people, comprehensive activities.
And that was Heer Torres, Program Management Officer at the United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction in the Americas, UNDRR. Opposition Senator Delbert Parris revisited recommendations proposed by the parliamentary opposition last year regarding the geothermal energy project. One of these suggestions involves directing revenues from the CBI program towards the geothermal project. Parris deems this recommendation to be reasonable, especially after examining figures presented by the Minister of National Security in Parliament on Monday.
A lot of people are talking about why we're taking loans and so on and so forth, and that is a concern. It's a fair concern, Mr. Speaker, given our debt to GDP ratio, et cetera, et cetera. One of the recommendations that we made was to relook at the possibility of using proceeds from the CBI, or buoyant CBI program, to do that. I heard a few numbers that the Senator Blackmore mentioned a while ago, and compared to what we've been able to do with CBI, that could have been a walk in the park. I don't think anybody thinks it's unfair for there to be a reasonable recommendation or question as to why we are not considering proceeds from our CBI to do this project. I mean, the minority will have its say, the majority will have its way, and the resolution will be passed today. So obviously we're going to go a different way. But it's worth mentioning that maybe we would not have had the concern about adding now today toward debt to GDP ratio. Not that it is unnecessary, but maybe we could have gone a different way.
Mr. Parris also highlighted the potential for Domlec to expand its operations in a manner that allows for collaboration with the Dominica Geothermal Energy Company Limited. He emphasized that, given the current circumstances on the island, if not provided with an opportunity, the company could face decline and eventual closure.
Second recommendation that I want to point out, Mr. Speaker, is there's a lot of talk about Dom. We mentioned re-looking at Domlec's role or challenging them to play a bigger role in this process, maybe in tandem with the Dominica Geothermal Development Company. Finding a way to challenge them to grow. The Minister of Finance mentioned their limitations early on. But you have to find a way to let Domlec grow. Because if Domlec doesn't grow, it'll die. If it doesn't grow, it's going to die. This changing environment that is currently existing will force it either to die or to grow. But not only just the company, Mr. Speaker. What happens to the rest of the shareholder? How are we looking at how they play? Currently, a colleague mentioned it earlier, Domlec is largely, some people might want to call it a monopoly. But if you've done a thing well for 74 years, I think, you know, they own their generation, their transmission, and that's what they do. They've been able to do it well up until Hurricane Maria. This changing environment, Domlec owns neither. They don't own generation, they don't own transmission. How then are we confident that Domlec is going to be able to buy power, sell it back to its consumers, maintain the lines, maintain the transmission network, the new transmission network, and still be able to provide power cheaper? Seems hard to understand. It seemed hard to comprehend. Maybe that's my limitations, but we are fortunate because there are people on the other side who have the information.
Opposition Senator Delbert Paris. Castries Mayor Geraldine Lendor Gabriel has responded to Castries Arcade vendors' concerns regarding a new lease arrangement. St. Lucia Craft and Dry Goods Vendors Association President Peter Ras Aipa Isaac said the Castries Constituency Council CCC had yet to consult the vendors or the association. Isaac said the CCC asked vendors to sign the new agreement without explanation or allowing them to seek advice. As a result, the association president said after signing the lease, some vendors realized that some conditions were draconian. In other news, Donald Trump's criminal trial continued on Tuesday, starting with the judge ordering the defendant to pay a $9,000 fine for breaching a gag order and being in contempt of court. On the third week of the hush money trial, Justice Merchan has found the former president willfully violated the court's gag order in 9 of the 10 contempt charges leveled against him by prosecutors. The BBC's Nada Tawfik outlines key moments from the court.
Donald Trump is held in contempt of court and threatened with jail. In response, he attacks the judge and claims he's being silenced. First thing this morning, the former president was ordered by the judge to pay a $9,000 fine for willfully a gag order 9 times, which banned him from attacking potential witnesses and jurors. Judge Juan Merchan rejected the defense argument that Trump's social media and campaign website posts were merely responding to political attacks. Though he did find there was a tenuous correlation, as he put it, to commentary by key witness Michael Cohen in just one of the 10 instances cited by prosecutors. Trump will have to pay the fines by Friday, and he has already met the deadline to remove the offending posts. The judge noted a maximum $1,000 fine per penalty allowed under the law may not dissuade the wealthy presidential candidate from continued violations. He said jail may be a necessary punishment. But for all the talk of his free speech being under threat, Donald Trump is allowed to attack the judge and the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who brought the charges, and has continued to do so.
That's the midday news. Here's a recap of our headlines. DOASCO General Manager Bernard Etinoff announces Dominica domestic consumers and large, medium, small business owners will have to pay a water guarantee charge effective June 1st, 2024. Castries Mayor Geraldine Lendor Gabriel responds to Castries Arcade vendors' concerns about a new lease arrangement. The Vendors Association President Peter Ras Aipa Isaac complains of being ignored. And Donald Trump's criminal trial continued on Tuesday, starting with the judge ordering the defendant to pay a $9,000 fine and threatening jail confinement for breaching a gag order and being in contempt of court. The news brought to you with the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95.